the Fry-Yay Cocktail, presented by Anna Glavinsky.
I'm joined by Kerry Wallace now. She's going to be talking to us about her book, Mountain Walks in Ben Nevis, and it's 15 routes to enjoy on and around Ben Nevis, which sounds absolutely lovely. Hi, Kerry, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And where are you right now? You're looking all wrapped up and warm and cosy.
Yeah, I'm in Glencoe in the west coast of Scotland. And yeah, it's pretty cold outside, the snow on the hills. Yeah.
And have you been out walking today?
I've been out on a run today. Yeah. Oh. It's pretty chilly wind.
Well, very brave of you. Very pioneering. So your book, why did you decide to write this guidebook on Ben Nevis? What is it about that place?
Well, so Ben Nevis is the highest mountain in the UK, and it draws a huge number of people to the area where I live. About 130,000 people get to the top of the mountain every year. And this book is one in a series of books from the publisher, Vertebrate Publishing, which are just kind of like almost pocket guidebooks, which have walks around very popular mountains with an emphasis on not just going to the summit. The idea is actually visiting the area and getting to experience the kind of wider beauty or appeal of that area, rather than literally just going, as so many do, to Ben Nevis and thinking, well, the only thing to do is go up to the top.
Oh, because you are a mountain guide yourself, so I guess you're taking people on these sorts of trips all the time. Are there those people, is it a majority of people who just want to tick something off? And how do you convince them that there's another way perhaps of doing it? Or why indeed do you even want to convince them?
Yeah, I think there's definitely the majority of people want to just tick the summit off. Uh-huh. And, you know, people come from all around the world to do Ben Nevis. And yeah, I don't think you can, with some people, you can't talk them out of the summit objective. There are several ways to get to the summit of Ben Nevis, however. Some, like the main tourist route, if you like, is the kind of easiest way, but there are more challenging ways to get to the summit. But there's also loads of really nice, like low level walks. And if you were visiting this kind of area, you know, with your family or with young children, with your dog or something like that, or the weather's terrible, then the summit of Ben Nevis might not be an option for you. So this guidebook was ideally something which would be a bit more inclusive, if you like, for people visiting the area and not just getting fixated on the summit.
And I'm just curious, I know that this isn't what your book is about, but just with your experience there and some of the people that you've taken to the top, have you got any inspirational stories of people who wanted to get to the top for a particular reason, or, you know, some stories there that you think, wow, that was quite impressive. That was cool.
I've got a kind of an odd story, which is kind of that, I don't know if it's cool, but it's kind of an interesting tale, which is that my very first time actually on Ben Nevis was part of a very popular challenge that people do here, which is the Three Peaks Challenge. So to do the highest summit in Scotland, England and Wales. And I was, gosh, a lot younger than I am now. I think I was in my early 20s when I tried to do the Three Peaks Challenge as a big group, as part of a charity event. So this is a really common theme with people. But on my day, we actually came across somebody having kind of a medical emergency on the mountain, and I was roped into a rescue. Unfortunately, the poor gentleman was, you know, he passed away as part of this, incident. And I had to deal with the mountain rescue, and they all came up, and we ended up obviously not climbing the mountain and going back down. And so my first experience of Ben Nevis was really quite harrowing and quite upsetting for me. But bizarrely, instead of making me think, oh, you know, that's it, I'm never going to go up another mountain ever again, it actually made me think, gosh, you know, you can't underestimate this kind of environment. It's really actually pretty severe. And the weather was very poor when we went up there, you know, no visibility. The helicopter couldn't land, so they had to send mountain rescue up with a stretcher on wheels, which is what they do, like a bike wheel, to take this casualty off the mountain. And so since then, it's been probably another, I don't know, 20 years or so. And in the meantime, I've actually, as you mentioned, worked my way up to becoming a qualified mountain leader, and have then joined the Glencoe Mountain Rescue Team, and sort of felt like I'd gone almost like full circle. And now here I am writing a guidebook about Ben Nevis. So it feels a kind of strange circular experience to have kind of gone, you know, all the way around.
It's funny how life can do that sometimes, can't it? It takes you with it rather than you dictating it.
Absolutely.
What is Ben Nevis like as a mountain? Some of its most extreme features, you know, its height, its rock faces, weather.
Yeah, so it's 1,345 metres high, which is obviously high by British terms, but it's not high, if you like, compared to mountains in Europe, but, you know, in the rest of Europe, but like the Alps, for example. But what we do have here in Scotland, anyway, is a very kind of different climate to that. So it's very variable and it can change quite quickly. And it's a much wetter climate. So we get this really quite quite harsh conditions on the summit. And it's very, very different between obviously summer and winter. So the mountain is kind of, it's got a major path, if you like, a man-made, maintained track that goes to the summit, which is much easier and more obvious in the lower half than it is in the upper half, where it becomes more indistinct towards the top, I suppose you would say. And then there is a big plateau along the top, which in good visibility is, you know, a remarkable place to get to. And you can, you know, see phenomenal mountain panorama. But in poor visibility, you know, it's actually quite difficult even to see the path. And there are these big cairns made all the way along the top, which are actually designed to poke up above the snow just slightly in winter so that you can still follow this line to the actual summit trig point. But it's in cloud more often than it's not in cloud. So it is kind of something to be aware of, that it's not always straightforward to find the top. So lots and lots of people do get into difficulty. And the Loch Arbour Mountain Rescue Team that covers the Ben Nevis area is, I'm sure, the busiest, you know, in Scotland.
Wow. And you do cover some practical safety tips as well, talking about going up the mountain. Obviously, one of those could be avoid doing the hardest routes. And I do want to come on to those and talk about some of the more gentle routes on offer. But still on the topic of some of the more extreme options, what is some of the most important practical safety tips that you've got?
Yeah, I think probably the most important thing is knowing how to navigate. So, you know, if the visibility is poor, I would say that's kind of at the top, because if you don't know where you're going and you get lost, it's the kind of terrain. So the north face of Ben Nevis is famous for its climbing and its mountaineering routes. And it's incredibly steep and like cliffs and crags and ridge lines, which are very precipitous. So, you know, people have been known to go onto Ben Nevis and follow, you know, Google Maps or something like this and get themselves into all kinds of difficulty. You know, you really need to navigate with a map and compass and know how to do that properly to sort of foray onto these kind of more tricky routes on Ben Nevis. The trickiest one in the guidebook is to reach the summit via Carnmore Jarrag and the Carnmore Jarrag Arete, which is like a narrow ridgeline, like a rocky ridgeline. And it's actually a graded scramble, a grade one scramble, which means that you do need to use your hands and your feet in a kind of climbing type way in places. And it has quite a bit of exposure, by which I mean there's a big drop on one side and it feels quite narrow. It's very exhilarating and it's a great route, but, you know, it's not for everyone. So if this is something that's going to intimidate you, or if you've never done any scrambling before, you know, it might not be the option for you. And I think you do need good levels of fitness, because it's a long day out. It's a full day of hiking. And it's certainly, as I mentioned, not the easiest way to get to the summit of Ben Nevis. But, you know, if you've got that kind of hill fitness and you've got a bit of, you know, hill climbing experience, then it's a brilliant way to get up Ben Nevis, because as you cross the Carnmore Jarrag Arete, you have this amazing view over the north face of Ben Nevis, which is, you know, really dramatic. And it's just a brilliant way to pop up onto the summit without the hordes of people that you might experience on the tourist path.
Because does it get very crowded at times as well?
It gets so crowded that now it's become a thing, and much like on Snowdon, where people queue for the summit in the summer months.
Wow.
So you can sometimes reach the summit and there'll be like a queue of 10 people or more to actually touch the trig point at the top of the mountain. So
satisfying as a tick-off exercise, but I guess that must have changed a lot of the feeling and the experience that you get for climbing that route, would you say, in the last 20 years since you've been walking it?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed anyone's appetite for going up the mountain, because it's more, you know, more popular than ever as people get more and more into, you know, using the outdoors for health and well-being. But I think for a lot of, you know, avid mountain climbing enthusiasts, you know, the Ben Nevis experience isn't something that's, I don't know, maybe that close to their heart. People tend to prefer you know, the quieter solace of mountains where people are, you know, it's not so busy. But that's, in a way, one of the, you know, attractions of this particular guidebook, is that you can visit the Ben Nevis area and not see anybody. There's lots of mountains around Ben Nevis which would give almost identical viewpoints, but don't have anybody on them, or very, very few people, you know, climbing them. So, you know, if you want a quieter experience, then you could try some of these other mountains. And then, of course, you can have lovely views of the mountain and the surrounding area by just doing low level walks, but get into really good viewpoints. So, yeah, that was the kind of thinking with the book, is partly to kind of share the appeal of the wider area, but also, it, you know, it's always good to, from a, an erosion point of view, to share the footfall.
That's a really good point as well, actually. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And obviously, you've got 15 different routes, different levels. Some take you to the top, some don't. For those that are perhaps easier and don't take you all the way to the top, what do people get out of it? What's the best things they can experience?
So there's amazing kind of surrounding mountain view. So you've got these big steep mountains. They could be, they're quite dramatic mountains around, for example, Glen Nevis. You know, there's a beautiful waterfall walk in there. We've got one walk that uses the mountain gondola system, which is, you know, very unique in the UK. And even kind of just smaller hills that have a very different feel to something like Ben Nevis, but might give you a different perspective on the mountain. So the, Ben Nevis looks very different from different angles. So, you know, it's nice to do that as well. And also there's one hike in there which goes right up to the north face. It doesn't go up any mountains, but it goes right up under the north face, where we've got one of the UK's only alpine style huts, the Charles Inglis Clark Memorial Hut. And it's literally sort of nestled underneath these outrageous kind of dramatic crags and cliffs. And in the winter, it's all sort of snowed in, and all those cliffs are all white with snow and ice. So it's a really impressive place to get to without having to actually, you know, go up the mountain, which in winter, I should mention, you know, involves quite a different set of skills. So if you wanted to go up Ben Nevis in the winter months like now, you really would need axe and crampons and experience of winter mountaineering.
And what about in terms of wildlife? Things like, you know, what animals and particular to the area, fauna and just the flora as well. I'm just getting my fauna and flora mixed up. But, you know, what plants and trees are unique to the area? What should people keep an eye out for?
You don't really see a huge amount of wildlife on the main Ben Nevis path, because I think it's just so busy.
Yeah.
But I think if you get down, you know, the quieter parts of Glen Nevis, you can see deer, you can see, in the winter you can see mountain hare, but in the snow it's quite difficult to see the mountain hare in the summer. But amazing kind of birds of prey. And then in terms of trees, like, I think there's a few Scots pine up the back of Glen Nevis, and also some lovely rowan trees which have their, you know, red berries, and so you know, lots of nice photo opportunities there as well.
And for people who are looking to get their hands on this book, is it, you know, a step-by-step guide, literally, as you say, a pocket guidebook, or is it more of a book that people might want to put on their coffee table and dip into to enjoy from afar without actually having to step foot on the mountain?
No, it is very much a pocket book. So you could, in theory, take it with you and it would just go in a map pocket, for example. But yes, it has a step-by-step, you know, instructions for the route description. But it also comes with GPX files that you can download for each of the routes, so that you can, you know, use those in conjunction with your map and compass to do the walk. So, and in doing that, you can also then get all the points of interest and little kind of extra bits of information about the route and things you might pass along the way, little historical snippets and things like that, which, you know, help make the walk more interesting.
Well, it sounds great, and a massive well done for pulling it all together. It sounds really, really good. Any more plans for more books? Obviously, that's the area that you know best. Some more books about the area, or maybe going further afield to do more guidebooks?
Well, no plans in the pipeline at the moment. I've only just, not that long ago, published a book called Running Challenges, which is also with Vertebrate Publishing, and is focusing more on kind of, yeah, routes around the whole of the UK, which appeal to runners particularly for, yeah, much like with Ben Nevis and it feeling like a tick, like those kinds of tick lists for runners, I guess.
What an interesting life that you've got, getting out there on the mountain. It just sounds absolutely ideal, on the mountains all the time. And then
it does rain a lot here. just to level it out.
Well, you do have that. You do have that, to be fair. Anyway, Kerry, we'll wrap it up there. But thank you so much for your time joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Gay. Goodbye. That was Kerry Wallace there. She is talking about her book, Mountain Walks on Ben Nevis. If you'd like to get your hands on it, you can find it on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop, or, of course, pop it into Google.